In February, when Amazon introduced free Whole Foods delivery for Prime members in Cincinnati, the hometown of grocer chain Kroger, it sparked a grocery delivery war. Now, Kroger is recruiting robots to fight back. The delivery war starts with picking and packing the online orders. For now, the task falls on independent drivers who gather the items and deliver them to customers' doorsteps. But Kroger wants to automate the whole process.
NASA launched its expedition to, quote, touch the sun. The Parker Solar Probe was launched on board a Delta IV heavy rocket from Cape Canaveral on Sunday. Its seven-year mission will bring it to within 3.8 million miles of the solar surface. That might sound like a lot, but it's seven times closer than any previous spacecraft.
Turkey's currency plunged to a new low on Friday, in lockstep with its worsening relations with the US. While President Tayyip Erdogan was appealing to Turks to exchange gold and dollars to shore up the lira, President Trump was on Twitter, announcing more pain in the form of new tariffs.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's August 13th, and it's 5:11 in the morning. Here we are with the start of another business week and another business day getting underway. We're glad you've chosen to tune into us this morning. We've got a lot to cover this morning, including the intel from around the world on the markets. A little bit later in the program, a conversation about robots and automation in commercial real estate. That'll be a good conversation coming up at about 5:40 this morning. In a second, we'll bring in our two CEOs and founders this morning for our CEO Spotlight segment. The founders of Shred 415 will be with us. Tracy Romer and Bonnie McKelly. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we're looking at numbers this morning that show an implied open down about 80 points on the Dow. Could be even more than that. Right now, futures are down about 96 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are each off by about a third. Around the world this morning, markets are significantly lower in Asia. The Nikkei is off almost 2%, down 440 points. The Hang Seng off 1.5%. That's about a 430-point drop there. In Europe, markets are lower by about a third to 0.5%. In London and Germany, more than 0.5%. And in France, a third. Oil is trading this morning at $67.67 a barrel, up about 4 cents. A couple of stories we're watching for you. You heard there in the opening montage the situation with Turkey. The Turkish foreign minister says the United States will not achieve its aims by exerting pressure and imposing sanctions on Turkey. Addressing a conference gathering of Turkish ambassadors, he called on the United States to remain loyal to ties based on traditional friendship and NATO alliance with Turkey. Turkey has been hit by financial turmoil, with the lira plunging on deepening concerns over the government's economic policies and its diplomatic spat with the United States. And Google records your movements even when you explicitly tell it not to. An Associated Press investigation shows that using Google services on Android devices and iPhones allows the company to record your whereabouts as you go about your day, even if you've set privacy settings to prevent it from doing so. Google stores timestamp location data when it maps. Its Maps app is simply open. Automatically, daily weather updates pinpoint exactly where you are as well. And some searches that have nothing to do with location, like chocolate chip cookies, for example, are pinned with precise coordinates down to the square foot to your Google account. The privacy issue affects some 2 billion users of Android devices and hundreds of millions of worldwide iPhone users that rely on Google for maps or for search. Front and center this morning in our CEO Spotlight, the co-founders and founders, CEOs of Shred 415. It's one of the hottest workout crazes going, and the fitness experts who started it all are expanding their brand across the country. Bonnie McKelly is here along with Tracy Romer. Good morning, ladies. So welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having us.
I feel like we should start with some exercise this morning because it's so early.
We love to do burpees.
Do squats.
But I'm betting you guys have already exercised this morning.
Not yet.
Let's start with telling people what you're all about and who you are. And Tracy, let's start with you with that.
Okay. We are the founders and CEOs of Shred 415. And Shred 415 is a high-intensity interval training studio, 60 minutes, 4 15-minute intervals. We alternate between treadmills and strength on the floor. So Shred is strength and tread, so you kind of think of that. Mm-hmm. And one instructor, very fun, exciting, empowering, and 60-minute class.
And Bonnie, this is sort of, it sort of has taken off because it's just that. People are really seeing results from the Shred routine, right?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. When Tracy and I opened in April 2011, we had a woman come in. We have a kids room, and she was bringing her three kids, coming about 3 to 4 times a week. And within 30 days, she had lost 15 pounds. And we were just blown away by the results. And over the last 7 years, that's all we've seen is consistently people coming in and looking so much better and feeling so much better about themselves. So it's created such an amazing energy and community. Here in Chicago, it's been great.
And the feedback, too, I was going through some old press clippings to get ready for the interview, and this has to be the ultimate compliment. If workout moguls Jillian Michaels, Tracy Anderson, and, of course, Jane Fonda have taught us anything, it would be, but basically the comparing you to those folks, that must be a compliment.
Yeah, that's really sweet. Yeah, yeah, but we're blown away by the effect that we've had on people's lives. It's been incredible.
So since 2011, tell us about this story, how it started, and where you have come to, and maybe what kind of challenges were involved there. I'll let either one of you go. Tracy?
So Bonnie and I actually met 12 years ago in Starbucks. I was pregnant with my second child, and Bonnie was standing in front of me in line at Starbucks at our local grocery store. And I for sure thought I was having a boy. I had a little girl at home, and I for sure thought it was going to be a boy. And Bonnie was standing with her son. So I thought she was super cute. Her son was super cute. So I, of course, approached her and asked her son's name, and she said it was Fletcher. And I said, oh, my God, that's such an interesting name. I'm totally going to name my child Fletcher. So I drive home. And part of the story is we just moved into a new development less than a half block away from the Starbucks. And I drive home. I see my husband. And I said, oh, my gosh, Kurt, I found a perfect name for our son. It's going to be Fletcher. And he says, no, we are not naming our son Fletcher. He says, I have many other names that we're going to name our child. So I said, whatever. So I walked out my front door literally an hour later, and here comes Bonnie driving into the new development. And I said, oh, my God, she's my neighbor. I cannot name my son Fletcher. That would be creepy. But then I ended up having another girl. I have three girls now. And during that time, Bonnie and I became fast friends. And what do you do in Chicago? You play in the alleys with your children. And we would play in the alleys. And as we played in the alleys, as our kids played in the alleys, sorry about that, we would talk about everything fitness. I was working in the fitness industry. I had been for about 20 years at the time, and we loved everything fitness. And we would discuss what Chicago was lacking.
Yeah, and at the time, there was so much bar yoga and Pilates. This was in 2010, and we couldn't believe that something so simple as treadmills, which had been around forever, and functional movement, strength training, had been around forever, and that it didn't exist. A studio with just that didn't exist in Chicago. And we said, looked at each other and said, let's do this, and we opened 8 months later.
And the partnerships like this always have these great stories, where the backstory is one that leads to the idea. What? How do you then take that idea, though, and make it into something? What was that challenge like?
It was a lot of secret meetings at the beginning. I still had a job, so I didn't want anyone to know what I was doing. So we would meet at local coffee shops and in our alleys or in the house, and we'd draw the shade shut so our neighbors wouldn't see what we were talking about. But the challenges were just, one, finding real estate. Where were we going to go? Where was it going to be our first spot? So that took the longest. And once we found our spot, it literally took about 6 weeks from start to finish to open. The challenges then were sound. We had a lot of sound issues with our first one. I mean, we really didn't know what we were doing when we opened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, too, you know, trying to find the right staff. People didn't know who you were, so we were hiring people, and maybe they didn't love fitness. But by the time we opened and people started coming, and they're like, well, I want free classes. I want to work here. And then we start getting people that were really into fitness and had a passion for it and love Shred. But in the beginning, that was a challenge for us.
And when did you know you had a hit on your hands?
It was, so we had opened in April, and in May we got some press on Daily Candy at the time, which was everything, and it went national and said that Shred 415 had come to Chicago and it was a Hollywood workout. And at that time, people started hearing about us and coming in, and as I said, people were seeing great results. So by October, we had a wait list for every single class, and by January, we couldn't keep everyone coming. I mean, the wait lists were so long, so that's when we decided to open our second studio in Old Town, just a mile away in August, and we opened with Weightless.
And so here we are today in 2018, and the success is still there. Tracy, tell us about how you're growing and what that's like.
Yes. So we're announcing our 10th corporate location. So we already have one existing in St. Louis. We're opening the second in St. Louis. So we have 7 corporate stores in Chicago, one in St. Louis, one in Indy, and then opening the second one in St. Louis. And then a year ago, we are now, we announced our franchising organization, and we're celebrating our milestone of 1 year. We have signed 51 franchise locations. Nice. And we're super excited to announce that in August, we'll be opening our first franchise in Milwaukee. So we'll have 5 opened by the end of the year.
What is that process like, the franchising part of it? I mean, there must be a lot of detail and hard work that goes into that, right?
Besides
shredding yourself on the workout floor.
It's a totally separate business. I mean, now you're dealing with people that are putting their own money in to open the studio when it's not us just doing it. We have an incredible corporate team. We have been so lucky with the people that we have hired and are surrounded by. We could never do it without them. And it's really exciting for all of us. So everyone's really stepped up to the plate, and really, really looking forward to these 5 opening and just crushing it.
And what's the selling point to the franchisees, I think is what we call them, right? Franchisees, potential franchisees. What's the selling point? How do you sell it? What's the marketing ploy?
What we've been really lucky with is, 90% of our franchise sales to date of those 51 have been current shredders or employees. So these people have been shredding with us for the last few years, sometimes for the last 7.5 years. And it's been a dream of theirs to open a studio. We have an instructor, and as soon as we announced, he was with us since day one. We found him on Craigslist, and his name is Fidel, and he bought 3 and is moving to Seattle. And although we're so sad to lose him, we are just so thrilled because it's a dream of his to have his own. So that's been the most special part of this.
In fitness, I would imagine that there are fads that come and go. And is that something that you guys think about in the back of your head as you look to expand, or do you feel like you have a product that will withstand that potential challenge?
Yes, we have a product that will last forever. We decided when we opened up Shred, we did want something that everyone knew how to do. Everyone knows what a treadmill is. Everyone knows how to lift a weight. And those are things that people come back to day in and day out and will never go away.
One of the questions I had in doing research, and I haven't been to Shred yet, it seems like there are a lot of women that are there. Is it an open environment for men as well? Has that changed? Because it seems like your website has a lot of women on it.
We do have guys that come. Ends up happening is the wives come, and then they're like, you have to come, and then they bring their husbands. But in the morning and evening hours, we get a ton of men. We've seen men that have been coming for, again, the last 7.5 years. But what's great is we have so many families that come and bring their kids. So their Saturday mornings or even Sunday, their church is Shred, and they bring their kids and put them in the kids' room. And these husbands and wives are working out together for the first time in such a long time since they had kids. So it's pretty great.
It's interesting that the wives come first, the husbands come second, and then the husbands actually take the wives' spots. So we'll be out with friends, and they will be talking to each other, saying, no, I'm going tomorrow morning. No, I'm going tomorrow morning. No, that's my spot. So
let's talk about some of the other accolades streetwise. That was an honor that came a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yes. We were announced one of the 20 most inspiring Chicagoans by Streetwise.
What is that like?
It's pretty incredible. When we got the call, of course, Tracy was crying, but we got the call, and we knew the guy that called us. We were like, well, how did he even get our number? And he said that we didn't even know we were nominated. They nominated, over 600 people were nominated. We didn't even know we were in the running. And I guess it came down to us and Chance the Rapper. And they said, well, Bonnie and Tracy can be one, and then Chance and Bonnie and Tracy can be both names. So he's one of the 20, which is really cool for us to even be in the same category as him. But What it is they're recognizing individuals that have affected and inspired change, making Chicago even stronger, which is really an honor for us because we feel great to be a part of that.
I mean, that's what we do with Shred 415 is we affect and inspire change in people every single day. I mean, we get emails and calls and letters from family members telling us how grateful they are to us and what we've done for them in their lives just to make them feel stronger about themselves and be more confident in the world.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is a business show, and we sometimes talk about the transactional nature of business where somebody gives you money and you give them some sort of service. It seems like this is a little bit different. In that you sort of are impacting your customers' lives in a bigger way.
We are.
Yeah, we have a girl. She was in my class yesterday. Her name's Vanessa, and she's lost 82 pounds since January. She's our new Shredder of the Month, which will be announced on Monday. And I saw her yesterday, and she's shredding with her daughter, and her daughter is going to be a junior in high school. And just to see the two of them, you know, shredding together, and Vanessa looks so good, and her daughter's so proud of her. I mean, it's like you could get emotional talking about it, but it's really just changed her whole life.
We really just want people to move and feel better about themselves. So walk, jog, run, however you want to do it. Come in, feel good about yourself, leave and feel stronger about your inner being.
Sometimes we ask questions of CEOs and founders about how their leadership style has changed once they have become the leader. You have the entrepreneur who wants to start the business, and then they start the business, and sometimes things change. What about your leadership has evolved or changed since you both have taken over and started, you know, expanding the business? Let's start with you, Tracy.
I think as CEOs and leaders, one of our missions is to be able to grow your staff, right? And so people always asked us, why did you decide to franchise? And one of the reasons we decided to franchise was we wanted to give our employees the ability to grow with our business. And if we stayed just at the corporate level, we wouldn't have allowed our employees to grow. With that now, with these franchises, there's a lot more stress. And I think with stress, we've had to tighten up our ship a little bit where we had a lot of flexibility with our staff. And now we're having to say, we have office hours now.
Yeah.
You need to come in. You need to be present. We have a lot more meetings now. So everyone needs to be on time. And we got to take meetings off the calendar when we're not showing, or we got to change the times, or if we're having conference calls, they have to be removed because if, you know, we have five people waiting on a line and someone forgot to take it off. So we are getting a little bit stricter with our management.
Right. Oh, but people still are allowed to come and work out clothes to work?
Yes.
Work out at lunch. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so what advice can you give to folks who are getting up this morning, getting ready to begin their day about bringing all of this together, the healthy spirit, the entrepreneur part of this, the business part of it? What's the secret to making it all meld together?
Gosh, I think that, you know, what's really important is when, no matter what sort of job you're at, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're working so hard, you really have to take time for yourself, as hard as that is, whether it's an hour workout at Shred, whether it's meditation at night. I just think that's something as leaders that we've learned is that, you know, you can get so bogged down and so stressed out, and you've got to make sure that you're leading and you're not, you know, getting angry and too stressed at people. So you really have to take a deep breath and say, I can do this, and give yourself some time.
I'll add on to that. Yeah, you have to do it. You know, there's doers and there's talkers. And a lot of people talk about what they want to do, but Bonnie and I actually did what we wanted to do.
I'm sure you wake up with a day that's a challenging day or some day that's not going right. What would be your advice for getting over that?
I mean, honestly, working out for me is the biggest stress reliever. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, you have the music on and you can just get in your zone. And once you walk out, you're like, okay, I got this.
I remember a time when marketing for gyms and fitness places was done, you know, the standard way. You'd put an ad on the radio. It's different now, isn't it?
So different.
It's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's all those other places. Talk to us a little bit about the marketing part of this.
Yeah, we have been on social media since we opened our doors. Facebook was the only thing around in April 2011. We would post on it every day, and we weren't even posting pictures at the time. It wasn't even a thing. Now here we are. We have, you know, Bonnie and Tracy Instagram. We have Shred415. We have Vimeo, we have YouTube, we have Snapchat, we have all of it, right? And it's, you know, we have a head of social media in our corporate office. It's something that we spend a lot of time on. I think it's extremely valuable.
Has it supplanted the other sorts of marketing, the old-fashioned marketing? Do you even do old-fashioned marketing anymore?
Not the way that you remember it. I mean, funny story, when we opened, we literally, we opened, we had a grand opening weekend. We had all of our friends and family coming in. We filled every spot. Monday morning, we opened for our first day. Not one person showed up. Wow. I'm not a one.
Well, it's 6 a.m.
One person showed up at 8:30. Yeah. And that went on for about 4 or 5 days. And we said, okay, we've got to figure this out. This isn't working. And we went back to grassroots marketing. So we went out to schools and communities, and we brought people in that way. But we don't really do a lot of paid advertising anymore. Social media, Facebook, Instagram has really helped us market the way that we need to market, and word of mouth.
And so I know you're focusing on the franchising part of that. We talked about that. But have you thought any further down the road? Where would you like to be? Where would you like this company to be in 10 years?
We'd love to be global. We want to be in every state in the country. Right now, we've sold the 51. We're going to be in 14 states, and we want to be all across the country. And then, I mean, our dream is to take it international.
Nice. Well, Bonnie, Tracy, it's wonderful meeting you. Continued best of luck to both
of you. Thank you so much.
Bonnie McKelley and Tracy Romer are the founders and CEOs at Shred415. You can find them online at shred415.com.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's NO Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoNO.com. Orsted, a Denmark-based developer of wind farms, has agreed to acquire Chicago-based Lincoln Clean Energy for $580 million. Lincoln Clean, a clean tech company, develops and operates wind farms. The deal is expected to close by the end of this year. A new high-tech apartment building in River North is the first to incorporate Alexa-based voice-activated lights, window shades, thermostats, and music systems as standard equipment. When renters move in, they even get training from an Amazon staffer who sets up the system just how they like it. That's today's NO Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoNO.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Good morning. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. Will robots take over commercial real estate? That's the question examined in a new report from Cushman and Wakefield Incorporated, which is a global commercial real estate services company based here in Chicago. The question examines a number of things, like, for instance, how driverless cars, blockchain, and other technologies will impact CRE over the next few decades. Joining us this morning is Revathi Greenwood, head of research at Cushman and Wakefield. Revathi, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning.
Let's start with why this report is needed right now. Why you folks went into this, and how important it is to understand what's going on.
So when we look at technology, technology is a huge disruptor right now in America. And commercial real estate is looking at technology and asking the question, what's the impact of technology for our industry? And the fact is that technology is probably to the 2010s and to the 2020s what the financial services industry was to the 1980s to the 1990s. So it's a disruptor, it's a growth engine, it creates jobs, and it's killing jobs. And jobs are really a very fundamental driver for commercial real estate, because at its very core, it drives the demand for space. And in addition, we also have a lot of transformative technologies like ride-sharing and autonomous vehicles that potentially have the power to change the way cities are structured and organized. And again, that has a potential impact on commercial real estate. So we're looking at it from a variety of angles.
And so what will we see first in this space? What will be the impacts of the disruptions first?
So we looked at about 7 to 8 technologies against a hype cycle curve, which looks at 4 stages. And we believe that ride sharing, automated motorized robotics, so those are the industrial robotics you use in warehouses, etc., and electric vehicles are probably at a more influential stage. And what I mean by that is they are perhaps more widely adopted than the other technologies, which are still very niche. And when we look at technologies that impact commercial real estate, we almost say there are three preconditions that need to be met before they really affect the way real estate is used. And that is, the first one is just basic, safety and privacy. So if you're looking at an autonomous vehicle, for example, is it just safe? And if you're looking at something like drones, there are still privacy concerns. The second thing is, for a technology to be truly disruptive, it needs to converge with other technologies. So, for example, the mobile phone only became truly disruptive to industries when it's morphed into the smartphone and it became connected to the internet. And the third thing is that it needs to be widely adopted. So it can't just be a niche product. So you can't have just one self-driving car on the road maneuvering with all the other non-self-driving cars, because that, again, doesn't change the way we structure our cities. So with all these are the preconditions we think need to be in place before something really affects really fundamental changes like the way we live and work.
One of the interesting things, and we go back to this hype cycle, the hype cycle. It's interesting how you've mapped this out, how this report maps it out. Tell us again about the hype cycle, and I'm guessing that when you go up to the big top of this curve here, that's when everybody's all hyped up about it, I'm guessing, is how this works.
Absolutely. So the hype cycle is a standard kind of a curve that's been developed by a firm called Gartner. And what we did is we mapped the commercial real estate technologies on top of that. So what it essentially says is that every technology typically goes through this curve. So it starts with a technology trigger when the technology is invented. And then you have this peak of inflated expectations, which is where the graph goes up. And then you go to the trough of disillusionment. So you've got the negative media and you've got the technology infrastructure hurdles, etc. And then after you overcome that, you've got second and third generation products. And you go into the scope of enlightenment where you kind of overcome these hurdles. And then you hit the productivity phase. And we believe that, like I mentioned earlier, AVs, drones, distributed ledgers, 3D printers, all of those technologies are at either the peak of inflated expectations, where there's a lot of hype around it, and now it's just facing some of the technological and infrastructural hurdles that come up when you look at these technologies.
So, for instance, the trough of disillusionment, that's less than 5% adoption, whereas when you get into that plateau of productivity, you're talking about 20 to 30%.
Absolutely. And I think what's interesting about the hype cycle curve is that in commercial real estate, we think this will vary by cities and industries. So, for example, when you look at ride-sharing, there are some cities where ride-sharing is already, hitting the 15 to 20% adoption rate. So location also matters when you look at how this is adopted.
And along those lines, the report focuses on some cities that are better suited to deal with these transformations than others. Let's talk about that for a second.
So what we did was we tried to map out a tech disruption readiness kind of a meter, and we looked at a couple of variables. So one is the technology workforce. So we looked at the number of tech workers as a proportion as a total population, the growth forecast for the tech workers. We also looked at where the money is flowing. So we looked at venture capital, the amount of venture capital and the percentage of venture capital. And we also looked at manufacturing employment, how much of manufacturing employment there is right now, and also how much it's forecast to grow. And based on that, we arrived at a tech disruption sort of a scale. And we map cities into those that are ahead, those that are tech ready, in line and gearing up. And so that's how we kind of clustered cities. It's not really a ranking, because obviously there are so many variables and we have applied weights to it. So it's more like a grouping of cities rather than a ranking.
Yeah, New York, San Francisco, Boston, Washington, D.C., Austin, Los Angeles, and San Jose were some of the cities that were highlighted here. Let's talk a little bit about the jobs. What did you find about the high-risk and low-risk jobs here that are going to be impacted?
So for the job- job study, there's a lot of anxiety when you look at jobs, right? Because that's one of the primal fears when you talk about machine learning and robotics, that ultimately we are all going to be replaced by robots. There's an OECD study which looked at how many jobs are at risk of automation over the next decade or so, and they said it's about 14%. This is a global stat, but we think, again, it broadly applies to the U.S. as well. However, again, we think this varies across sector and by industry. So, for example, routine jobs that are kind of easily automatable are those that are in industrial and in retail. And on the other hand, office-using jobs, and particularly jobs that have a high requirement for social, cognitive, or emotional intelligence, are less likely to be automated. So we have a spectrum of jobs as well. And also, when you look at the industrial sector, the safety bar is a lot lower in the industrial sector. So, for example, when you look at automated vehicles, it's more likely to be adopted first in the industrial sector with self-driving trucks. In the Australian outback, companies like Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton are already using self-driving trucks to cart iron ore across the outback because, again, there's a lower sort of risk of harming anybody out there.
And likewise, from jobs to the different categories of real estate, commercial real estate that might be impacted here, there are categories of commercial real estate that are more at high risk than others.
Absolutely. So, for example, when you look at things like gas stations, so when you've got electric vehicles, you don't require as many gas stations. They're going to be ultimately replaced by charging stations in your house, etc. Parking is something that's another thing that's probably going to be under some pressure, particularly because most people are using ride-sharing according to a University of California Davis study because of the convenience of finding parking. Also, when you have things like real estate that straddles uses, that's going to become more and more important because ultimately, when you look at the technological landscape, what does stand out is how difficult it is to predict what will ultimately happen. So what really matters is not the predictive capability because you're bound to get that wrong, but what flexibility you will have to respond to some of this. And the challenge is that real estate is inherently not flexible as an asset class, and therefore how do you kind of map that around? And the other problem is flexibility also comes at a cost. So, for example, some developers are now building parking garages where, the ceiling height is higher than normal, and it's built to grade. So if you want to convert it from parking to an office, et cetera, you can do it. But that's expensive, right? And who knows whether you may actually need to convert it or not. So those are the kind of conversations that are going around in the real estate industry when they talk about this space.
Revathi, very interesting stuff. We appreciate you being with us this morning to help explain some of it.
Thank you so much.
Revathi Greenwood, head of research at Cushman & Wakefield in Chicago, based in Chicago, a global commercial real estate services company. We're going to post the full report here with the podcast of our broadcast later this morning at WGNRadio.com. Will robots take over commercial real estate?
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street when it opens later this morning at 8:30 Chicago time. Dow futures are down 80 points. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, we had a weekend to think about those numbers that USDA issued on Friday. Will we be able to slow down the sell-off? That remains to be seen. And, of course, we saw soybeans dropping as much as 42 cents a bushel in the trade on Friday. Wheat ended down 18 cents, and corn ended down 12 cents after that crop report, the August report that we received on Friday. Well, it's the week of the Illinois State Fair, and tomorrow is Salute to Agriculture Day at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield. We'll spend the day there, and we'll emcee the Ag Day breakfast at about 10 o'clock or so, and then at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, the sale of the Grand Champions. They'll be selling the commodities and the live champions, and we'll be there to MC that auction tomorrow night. Hope to see a lot of you there. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuels.
Thanks, Orion. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook, earnings and economics today. Cisco reports its quarterly earnings. Equifax has an investor meeting today. The company still reeling from that massive security hack that exposed private information like tax ID numbers, driver's license details. Nearly 145 million customers were impacted. So we'll be watching that investor meeting. Home Depot earnings tomorrow. Macy and the company Tencent. Thursday, JCPenney, Nordstrom, Walmart. A big day for retail earnings. Friday, John Deere and consumer sentiment numbers coming out. Just some of the things that will move the markets this week and today on Monday, August the 13th.